in Education this week concerns a survey underway by the Office of Education. It covers the schools of 10 states, especially the districts having small one-room schools. That little red schoolhouse so dear to our memory.
The little red schoolhouse, eh? Well, that's fine. If there's one truly American institution that ought to be honored, that's it. Yes, sir. It's high time somebody was doing something about it.
We are doing something about it, Mr. Citizen.
Well, what's that?
We're doing away with it.
What?
Thousands of little red schoolhouses, which, by the way, are more apt to be white or unpainted, are being abandoned, sold, disposed of.
Hold on now, you know, that's not right. Why, some of our greatest men and women got their start in them.
Well, that's quite true, but good roads and autobuses are putting better schooling within reach of country children.
What do you mean?
I mean the advantages that come with consolidation of small isolated schools in larger central schools. 20,000 small schools have been abandoned in the last 19 years.
20,000?
Yes.
Well, there must be a reason
for
that.
There is a reason. Let me show you. You who can sit comfortably by your radiator, and just what it means to try to operate a small school in a cold winter like we've been having. Let's list this news item from one Midwestern newspaper. And remember, Mr. Citizen, this true incident is all too typical for this modern age.
All right, I'm listening.
The scene is a small farmhouse somewhere in the Middle West, 3 miles from the schoolhouse.
Goodbye, dear. Take good care of Sally, Jimmy.
Sure, we'll be all right. Of course we will.
I don't know. It's terribly cold. Maybe you'd better stay home today, Sally. You haven't been over pneumonia very long.
Oh, I don't want to miss any more school, Mother.
Oh, the thermometer says it's 10 below, and those drifts must be 12 feet high. I shouldn't let either one of you go today.
Aw, don't worry, Mother. It's only 3 miles. We can make it easy.
Sure, we can. All right, children. Only do be careful.
We will. Come on, Sally. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.
Are you all right, Sally?
Yes. Oh, it's starting to snow again.
Get close behind me and step in my track.
If we lived in Union County, they'd take us to school in a bus.
Our county's too poor for that.
I'm awful cold, Jimmy.
Here's the school now.
Gee, I hope it's warm inside. My feet are like ice.
Shut the door. We haven't much cold. Now, you children better keep your overcoats on.
Why, Sally, your face is so red. Does it feel frozen?
I don't know.
I'm so cold I can't tell what part of me is frozen and what isn't.
Well, we better start class now. Margaret Evans.
Here.
Sally Smith.
Present.
Jimmy Smith.
Here.
Bernard Gaston.
Here.
Mary Volka.
Mary won't be here.
Oh, that's too bad. What's the matter?
She's sick. The doctor says she has typhoid fever.
Typhoid? Oh, why, she's the third one in our school to have it this year. I don't understand it.
Teacher, I'm cold.
Jimmy, put some more coal in the stove.
Yes, I'm going. That's all the coal there is, teacher.
Oh, dear. The men were supposed to bring some yesterday, but I don't suppose that they could get through.
It's getting dark in here.
The snow's piling up over the windows, and it's coming in where the glass is broken.
Oh, here, stuff my muffler in it.
I'm getting scared.
Now, now, we mustn't think about it. Margaret, name the New England state.
Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont. I don't know. I'm so cold.
Well, now, maybe we all better huddle up around the stove. Now, Margaret, you look it up. And hurry. I can only spend 5 minutes with your geography. I have all these other classes, too, you know.
Look, teacher, there's ice in this flower vase on your desk.
Isn't there any more coal there, Jimmy?
Not a speck, and the fire's going out, too.
What are we going to do?
Well, I can't let you go home now. It's worse than ever. We'll just have to wait here until someone comes and gets us.
But we'll be frozen by that time.
If we only had something to burn.
Maybe we could burn one of the desks.
We'll have to do something. We may be here for days.
Oh,
now, we'll all put our lunches together and burn the desks one at a time. We'll hold out somehow.
Hello. Yeah, this is Superintendent Morgan. Oh, hello, Ralph. What's trouble? They are. Snowed in without fuel. Sure, we'll help. We'll get out one of our buses and start right over. Five-point school, you say? Sure. Just as soon as we can... Hey, Ralph! Oh, hello, Central. What's trouble? Wires are down. Well, can you connect me with the county garage? Quickly, now.
An hour later, a hastily summoned bus and a band of desperate men fought their way through the drifts toward the little snowed-in school. And after several hours of battling, the bus and the men break through and rescue the children. fortunately with no more serious effects than a few frozen ears and feet.
Well, Mr. Citizen, now you see the problem of the little red schoolhouse.
What is the size of the school to do with getting snowed in?
Well, the snow was just an incident. The point is, those particular children were in a one-room shack with broken windows, a condition of sanitation or lack of it that had already caused 3 cases of typhoid from which 2 of the children died. Now, our kids of today need modern buildings. Modern buildings with adequate teaching staffs and buses to transport the pupils. Were there enough people to support such a school? Of course, there are lots of good one-room schools, warm and happy and comfortable. But there are plenty of the other kind, too.
But all that costs money.
It does cost money, but it costs more to educate a child in a small school than in a large one.
Well, how do you account for that?
Just this way. It's a matter entirely of how many pupils each teacher handles. Now, in some small schools, there are only 2 or 3 pupils. Well, it's naturally expensive to pay a full-time teacher to teach perhaps 3 children.
Of course.
In the larger graded school, the teacher takes care of, we'll say, 25 to 30 pupils. And experience has proven that she can do it more effectively than the teacher who has a class of perhaps 3 or 4.
Well, it's all very well to talk, but how are you going to start if you haven't any money?
Well, suppose we just take another look now at what one other of these poverty-stricken districts did.
Well, gentlemen, what can I do for you?
We came here to thank you for helping us out during that blizzard.
Yes, Mr. Morgan, and if it hadn't been for you, those kids and that teacher might have frozen to death.
Oh, that's all right. You can't worry about boundary line during an emergency.
Mr. Morgan, how did your district make out during the blizzard?
Well, maybe it sounds like bragging, but we didn't have any trouble. Our schools are modern. Oil-burning furnaces. Buses for the pupils. No one missed a single day.
I wish we were hooked up that way.
Yeah, but where are we going to get the money?
Yep, that's it. Our district is one of the poorest in the state.
Why, we can't even open up our school since the blizzard. The teacher quit, went back to the city.
She did?
Yeah, said she was through working for starvation wages.
Yes, and after we gave her a job when no one else would take her.
School teachers are entitled to live.
Mr. Morgan, can your district take our children? We pay the cost.
No, we can't. You're not in our county.
No, we can't let them go without any schooling.
I'm sorry, gentlemen. It's state law. Can't take children from outside the district. Anyway, our own schools are already overcrowded. I'm trying to get the board to build a larger building. But it's like pulling teeth.
How about other school districts around us?
Most of them broke. With the depression and the drought, no one seems to have any money.
But what are we going to do, Mr. Morgan?
Well, you and your families might move into our district. If you lived here for 6 months, we have to provide for your children.
Hey, I think I have a plan.
What's that?
With 8 or 10 districts all in the same fix, why couldn't we go in together? Build one school that's big enough for all the kids.
Well, you still got to have money.
Most of us fellows aren't working. Why not let the district buy the material and we'll do the work?
Say, I think you've got something there.
And when that school's finished, why, we won't have to take our hats off to nobody.
I'll help you. Get Anderson to put up the proposition. Call your school boards together. Maybe you can get some action that way.
And now, a meeting of the school boards of the 10 poorest districts in the state.
Now, Mr. Anderson, what is this plan you're so enthusiastic about?
Well, it's just this, gentlemen. I want these 10 districts to form one school district. Build a modern school large enough to care for every child.
Oh, that's
some of those children live 5 miles from the school.
Well, we'll bring them to school in buses.
It costs us at least $25,000 for buses alone. We couldn't raise that much money in the whole state, let alone these 10 districts.
And they're the poorest district in the state, too.
Money well spent, gentlemen.
What do you think the whole scheme will cost?
$100,000 at the most.
Well, Mr. Anderson, all we can say is you get the money and we'll build your school.
That ought to hold you for a while, Anderson. Let's go home.
That won't hold me, Mr. Carter. I've had a talk with the state administrator, PWA. They'll advance 70% of the cost.
That means that these 10 districts only have to raise $30,000?
That's right.
It'll cost us that much to repair our old building.
What about all this so-called free help?
Yes. I never knew a man who'd work for nothing.
Gentlemen, they are not working for nothing. This is their own project. I've got good workmen, skilled artisans and helpers. They're not working for pay. They are building their future. And the future of their children.
He's right. I'll help him. All right.
That's just one instance.
And how has it worked out in practice?
It's one of many, and it has worked out. Why is there so much waste in our educational system? Why should some American children have good schools and some poor schools? Well, because school units are badly organized. A lot of them, like Topsy, just grew.
Well, just what is the Office of Education going to do about this problem?
Well, the first thing to do, of course, is get the facts. Which small schools can be eliminated, which can't be eliminated.
And who's going to find that out?
Relief workers will get that information in 10 states to start, at least. Here are the states. There's Arizona, Arkansas, California, Illinois, Kentucky, North Carolina, Ohio, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, and Tennessee.
And that means jobs for unemployed in all those states?
Yes, it does.
Well, fine, but what happens after the facts have been collected?
The states themselves can then use this information as a basis for better planning of their school districts. Instead of having, say, 100 one-room schoolhouses scattered all over creation, school officials may decide to build consolidated schools, or they may decide to perhaps abolish some school districts and retain some others. That, of course, is up to the states and the districts.
Well, I must admit that's one of the most sensible school programs I've ever heard of.
You've just been listening to a discussion of some of the problems involved in rural education. If you have any questions on this subject, write to Education in the News, Office of Education, Washington, D.C. And now, in closing, let's see what the Cleveland librarian has for us in this week's motion picture bookmark.
Our film bookmark for this week is for Magnificent Obsession by Dr. Lloyd C. Douglas, former First Congregational Pastor of Akron, Ohio, who left the pulpit to devote his time to writing. In this book, a young man, feeling himself responsible for the death of a famous specialist, decides to study medicine himself in the hope of atonement. He discovers the philosophy that had animated the scientist, a practical application of one of the principles of Christianity. Other stories of reborn men included in the bookmark are Resurrection by Tolstoy, The Good Shepherd by Roland Oliver, The Story of a Young American Doctor in Austrian Tyrol, The Country Doctor by Balzac, and the book The City of Comrade by Basil King. Under the subhead The Fine Art of Living, there is Making the Most of Your Life by John Morgan and Ewing G. Webb, About Ourselves by H.A. Overstreet, How to Live by Arnold Bennett, Discovering the Genius Within You by Stanwood Cobb, and How to Develop Your Personality by Sadia Shellow. The rest of the bookmark gives stories about doctors. Dr. Seracold by Helen Ashton, A Day in the Life of a General Practitioner in a Small English Town. Private World by Phyllis Bottom deals with doctors and psychiatrists in a psychopathic hospital who become involved in their own problems of love and jealousy. And lastly, A Doctor of the Old School by McLaren, a favorite with Alexander Walker. If you should like a free copy of this list of books that makes good reading in connection with Magnificent Obsession, write to the Office of Education, Department of the Interior, Washington, D.C., or to the station to which you are listening. Thank you.
Thank you, Cleveland Librarian. Listen in again next Monday at this same time for another program of Education in the News. This program is a presentation of the Educational Radio Project of the United States Office of Education and has come to you from our studios in Washington. This is the National Broadcasting Company.